very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami from the Warriors. This is the 49ers show. Come on, Barros, would you get this straight? 49ers Plus Minus with my co-host, Matt Barros of The Athletic. We're taping this on a Saturday afternoon after the 49ers close their third segment of three practices. They're going 3-3-3. They get Sunday off. Then they're going to kind of break it up next week on Monday, Tuesday, then a day off because then they've got the joint practice with the Broncos on Thursday. That's a big day. I will be out there for that. I did not go to the last two. I avoided the Morgan Wallen experience. How was that out there with the Morgan Wallen concerts going on last night? Sure, that was easily no problem. You can't go over here. No rules, nothing like that. Or were there a little bit of issues with Morgan?
Oh no, I mean there were no fans at these last two practices, which you would think was good, but we were still kind of sequestered to one end of the field. Today, Tim, I brought my binoculars. Yeah, and Tim sits next to me at Levi Stadium, and he knows that I've got a fancy pair of binoculars. So I actually wasn't complaining today because I feel like I had an advantage over all the other reporters because my binoculars are primo.
They're larger than you. Your binoculars are like, 7 feet across. So when you bring them up, Barros has got locked in on people.
But I didn't miss a thing. I mean, I had a really good view of today's practice. So no complaints. I know some people have listened to this podcast. And I've heard this at practice. And I've heard that, you and Tim are constantly complaining about the visuals at practice. And I'm like, yeah, it's gotten worse. I mean, how else are we supposed to kind of describe what we're seeing and not seeing? If we don't mention
I think that play was to Kittle, but I'm not so sure. I'm not complaining. Barros, you pointed out I wasn't complaining. I just was like, hey, if that's what happens, I'm going to say that it's happening, but I'm not going to complain. You're complaining. Barros.
I was definitely complaining. I don't see why we have to stand in specific areas. It doesn't make any sense to me, especially now. I mean, at the beginning of training camp, there were 35, 40 reporters, including, cameramen and stuff like that. There were a lot. These days, it's more like 10 to 12. As we get into August, the numbers go down, especially on the weekend. And there were no fans there today. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of room. Anyway, I don't want to sound like a complainer. Again, today I had the binocs and I saw everything. So ask me anything you want because I had a really good view of the whole spectacle.
Well, my sense is that one of the stars of the last few days, and I was there for the first day of it, was Ricky Pearsall. And we've just said just having him out there is huge because he has not been out there really regularly for a whole bunch of different issues in his rookie season and a couple days of practice, maybe 3 days of practice, maybe that first section this year. But him being out there every day is big. And he didn't do much the first day that I was there, but I have heard over yesterday, maybe really today, that Ricky Pearsall looks like he's taken off here.
Yeah, he had been restricted to 8 snaps in team drills early when he came back. Yesterday he got a lot more than that, and today he practiced the full practice and was a favorite target throughout. I had Brock Purdy at 11 of 11 in team drills. And every time he went to Pearsall, which was 4 times, obviously those were completions. And these weren't just rinky-dink completions. Some of them were sizable ones. Pearsall got the ball a couple times on carries. I'm not allowed to describe the type of carry he got it, but it wasn't just in the passing game. So he looked good. He looked like he's got fresh legs, which I'm sure is the case. So it was him and DeMarcus Robinson who were the quote-unquote starting wide receivers. The caveat to all this is that they are going against Dallas Flowers and Trey Brown because Renardo Green with a hamstring and Diamador Lenora with hip irritation have both been out. So it's not a star-studded secondary. And the safeties are Jair Brown and Jason Pinnock. So you know, not the top group that the 49ers would ideally want to have out in the secondary. So also no Nick Bosa today. And if there's been a real problem area for the 49ers offense, it's been Nick Bosa. So the offense had a bit of an easier task today, but that doesn't take away from Pearsall just looking good, looking sharp, cutting sharp. The whole thing with Pearsall is, can he beat man coverage, you know, close to the level that Brandon Ayuk has over the years? Because that really affects Purdy, and it affects what types of defenses are used against them. So, you know, what's today, August 2? If he can, you know, string together a lot of practices in this month, that's just gold for the 49ers. They need that. They would have Pearsall and Jennings in week one in Seattle. That's pretty good. It's not ideal. You want Ayuk, you want Robinson, but healthy Pearsall, healthy and having practiced Pearsall plus Jennings, I think is a really nice, not great, not the greatest, but is a good winnable duo to have.
Well, you mentioned the time he's practiced with Purdy in the offseason, and you got to imagine there's going to be a connection there. If they can just stay on the field together, if Pearsall is a guy you can count on, I mean, maybe not 17 games, but 15, 16 games, maybe even 17, the chemistry, the familiarity with Purdy will even be more. And he runs that Purdy kind of route, right? He's not a go ball guy. He's a make a quick step, fake left, go right, you know, break yourself over in the middle, get 16 yards. We've talked about Jordan Watkins being that guy. Pearsall's at an elevated level from Watkins. Like we all can praise Watkins, and yet I don't know for the last 2 days, but I've known like at least once a day he'll let one get through his hands. Like there's some things that he's not quite all the way up to, like a veteran speed, up to a guy you can just rely on. He does other good things. Not knocking him for that. He's a rookie, but they need someone that Brock Purdy says on 3rd and 7, I think this guy's going to get open for 9. That is always the most important thing, and maybe he's heading that right direction. I hear there was a kicking. There was kicking today, Matt Barrows. How did it go?
Yeah, I gotta give you your flowers, as they say.
I took the shot last time, but I think this time maybe we'll see.
Greg Joseph was 4 of 4. Looked really solid. They were going west today, so they're going away from the stadium. No, I'm sorry. They're going east today. They're going away from the stadium, and they were kicking into a bit of a wind. Joseph looked solid, and Moody looked solid too. Moody missed his last attempt, which is usually from 53 or so. It was hard to tell that because the fields aren't marked where they were doing the kicking, and he missed that just wide right. So that means that in this overall competition, Greg Joseph has taken a 1-kick lead over Jake Moody. Greg Joseph is 22 of 24, and Moody is 21 of 24. So we'll see where this ends up. Should end up, what, in the 50s or so by the end of training camp, the number of attempts. And then you have the games as well. So Greg Joseph has just kind of nosed himself to a lead right now.
I saw Brant Boyer at his press conference, and he just kept mentioning how it gets to games, right? The games are going to count like double, and they should count double because that's the closest approximation of a real game is going to be the preseason games. I just think, you know, this is the setup for it. If either one of them was going to be way behind going into the preseason games, it would have been from this. Obviously, still much time to go on that. I don't know if they're going to kick in the joint practice. Probably don't. You don't usually see field goal kicking in joint practices. That just takes too much time and too much moving people around. But be curious if they did. And I just think the ball looks good off of Joseph's foot. I was just curious. You know, he's a veteran. Was he going to be one of those guys who, like, you know, we all know with Robbie, sometimes the ball didn't look like it was going to go 45 yards. It did, but sometimes it didn't look like it. Joseph looks like he's got a fine leg. Moody's got a real strong leg, but I think that kind of might, you know, let's see how it looks in kickoffs. But I've just felt they've, you know, I'm going to repeat myself, but they've changed the long snapper. They've changed the punter. They've changed the number one cover guy. I think Brant Boyer is kind of in the mood, and he's kind of got the ability to say, let's just change everything and go with the kicker. Unless you know, the competition goes another direction. I just think if it's going to be a tie, and then maybe Moody misses one in the preseason, and then I think it's going to be Greg Joseph. That's my sense of it. But we shall see as it goes on. I do want to see the kickoffs. Let's see how good a kickoff guy Greg Joseph is. Moody's supposed to be a great one, has not been very good in a couple seasons. So maybe he's a better kickoff guy with the new rules. It will be very interesting. Hey, did you go to the official press conference?
I did not. No.
I skipped that too. So I'm not sure what was said. I don't know if anybody went to that. The official was available, which is good. You know, they're making an official available for the media to kind of talk through the new rules, but we've all got other stuff to do. So it's kind of hard sometimes to get.
Yeah. And we have to weigh if it's going to be read or not. That's my thing. Yeah. So, you know, if it's not going to be gobbled up by the readership, and I don't think the readers out there were clamoring for Sean. No, who was it? Alex Kemp.
Yeah.
Now Alex Kemp, however, is a Barrows favorite, not the Barrows favorite, but he's up there because he doesn't call a lot of,
you could have just talked about that. Ask him about that. I mean,
I should have, he keeps the game going. And that to me should be the top criterion for an official. This is entertainment after all. Let's just kind of keep it moving. We don't want to see you. We want to see the players.
It would have been probably something to go to if the 49ers had just been involved with something, you know, a controversy or a call in the playoffs or something, but they have not. So not that much for 49er writers to grill, the kickoff thing. Oh, this, you know, oh, the chip in the ball. I will say this. I don't think the chip in the ball is going to work, Barrows. I don't want to be mean about this, but it doesn't record when the whistle's blown. Also, you can't really tell with all these bodies where he's actually down. And the other thing is, the chip is in one part of the ball. The ball might be like turned around, and the other part of the ball is the one that's actually leading the way. How do you judge that? So I'm not sure this is going to be as great as everyone thinks it's going to be. I think there's going to be some real issues, especially, you know, those fourth and one plunges and like, where did the guy's knee go down, or where was, you don't know. There's like seven guys around him. There's no official way to rule that. That's pure judgment. This chip isn't going to decide that. So let me throw that in there. I could ask Alex Kemp about that. I could
have. Yeah, I wish you were there for the big chip conversation. Chip happens sometimes.
Chip Kelly. The only Chip Kelly I really recognize is Chip Kelly. All right. Anyone else? Who do you got?
Let me just piggyback on what you were saying about kickoffs, because I agree with you. I think that is a kind of underappreciated facet of all this, because, you know, now touchbacks are going to come out to the 35. So I'm sure that Boyer is one of these special teams coaches that wants to put the ball in play, because they don't want to concede a 35-yard start for the opposition. So it's not just so much leg strength, but it's placement. Can you put it into that corner consistently? Because you don't want to kick it out of bounds either.
Yep.
You want to tuck it into that corner where the returner is forced to return it, is restricted in where he can go. So that, I agree with you. That was what I heard was a real Moody strength, is that he not only has the loft, but he has the placement skills to kind of put it where he wants it consistently. And we didn't see that consistently from him the last couple of years. So that'll be interesting to watch. I think that their legs are comparable.
Yep.
I think their legs are basically the same. So I don't think one guy's booming 61 yarders, but both are capable from, I'd say, up to 55 easy. They've been hitting 53, 54 pretty regularly in camp so far. So yeah, it'll be something to watch, into the fourth quarters of these preseason games. I mean, if you can make it through the fourth quarter of a preseason game, that means that you're a true fan. And this is the reason why the true fans might want to go deep. And I think all of the starts, are they all at 5:30 for these games?
Feels like it, yeah. I think they are. But
The Raiders game is during the day, I think. Okay. That's the one away game, the one in Las Vegas.
I would say, like, normally their coverage has been so bad that they've been just kick it out, right? Just kick it through the end zone. There's a few teams that are good enough in coverage that they really want to encourage the return. 49ers have not been that. They've won. I've asked Shanahan about this once, I think. It's like, are you trying to have Moody kick the ball to the goal line and have it run out? And it's like, no, we're trying to go for touchbacks. Well, you wouldn't want to do that now from the 35. And if you have a decent coverage, which maybe they will this year, then you really do want to kick it to the goal line and not just automatically kick it through the end zone. And by the way, Moody hasn't even done that. So enough of me piling on Moody. It's just very curious to see how this is going to work. We have not seen them kick off at all in training camp. Like, they have not done any even practice. You know, I guess that comes maybe later when they do those drills, but has not happened at all. So we shall see how that works out. Barros, you know, the rookie defensive line are always going to have everyone's attention because they're the top three of the four, whatever picks they were. I think that they've been pretty consistent, each one of them. Have you seen any kind of ups and downs? Let's just go with Mykael Williams, Alfred Collins, CJ West. Those three. CJ West is the one that just jumps out because he doesn't look like he's a dominant kind of presence, but he's been really, really strong in those one-on-one drills. Have you seen any kind of ebb and flow with those guys?
No, and I think that that is newsworthy in itself, because Alfred Collins not only was a second-round pick, he was a fairly high second-round pick, and he's behind those two guys, and he's even behind Sebastian Valdez, who's a undrafted guy. And Salah's point the other day, and it's probably the right one, is that, okay, this is the guy that didn't practice in the spring. He was out with a calf injury, you know, didn't even do any sort of individual pass rush drills or anything like that. So he's going through now what everyone else was going through in the spring. So he's behind, and he looks behind. I think that he's got a tendency to, once he gets stymied, he just stops going, or, you know, stops going as hard as he can. So, you know, whenever you're as tall as him, and he's almost 6'6", it's about pad level, and these guards and centers can kind of get him, get his momentum stopped fairly early now. And when that happens, he's usually losing the repetition. So it's a matter of him staying lower and then kind of fighting through it. And I'm not sure if his conditioning is exactly where he wanted to be. I think that's something that's jumped out to me with both with the three other guys, Mykael Williams, CJ West, and Sebastian Valdez. All are in excellent shape. Their conditioning is really good. They don't wear down in practices. They don't wear down in a rep. They're strong, especially West and Valdez, just physically strong guys. And you see that. I think that that's what Collins has to get. But Shala's point was that, okay, he's not doing as well as the other guys. He's a little bit behind the curve. But what we're seeing physically, quick feet coupled with a, you know, 326-pound guy with long, long arms, that's a great combination. And you want to be able to teach him. You like that as a coachable asset. And so the thought is that he's going to get better because he can move that weight so well. So it'll be interesting to kind of come back to this conversation. In The Athletic, I am ranking all of the rookies. So there are 18 rookies, including the undrafted guys this year. I have them ranked 1 through 18. As you might expect, Alfred Collins isn't real high on that ranking, but it'll be interesting to do it again in 3 weeks or so and see whether he's kind of come up, because the 49ers are expecting him to do exactly that.
All right. Anything offensively else that we're talking about? I saw Garendo might have been a little nicked up today. Always a worry with him. If it's not him and Jordan James is a little nicked up, who's your backup tailback there? Patrick Taylor?
Yeah, Patrick Taylor, who has looked good. And I was a big Patrick Taylor critic last season. He got a start against the Green Bay Packers and did not look good in that start. But he's been, you know, it's been Garendo's been the number two. He's been the number three. And so he's looked good. You're right. If Garendo, and I think he was hurt on a kick return drill today. And I saw trainers were kind of working on his shoulder, kind of reaching up under his shoulder pads. So at least it's not a hamstring, which has been his real kind of Achilles heel, no pun intended, throughout his career. So it's upper body for him right now. I don't know if it's going to affect him in the joint practices in the game on Saturday, but if it did and Jordan James wasn't back, it would be Christian McCaffrey, obviously number one, and then Patrick Taylor two. And then I think the undrafted guy, Corey Kiner, who's who's looked good, looked real solid in this camp, would be three. And then the new guy, Amir Abdullah from the Raiders, would be number four. So Abdullah is a known commodity. He's come in. He's looked good, fresh legs. He's a veteran guy. I think he came into the league in 2015. So he's been around a while. So they always have him to fall back on if they really run into a numbers crunch there.
And given the 49ers this era, they almost always do get to a numbers crunch at running back. And they might be calling other guys as the season goes on. That's just the way it's worked. Purdy looks good to me. I think he always looks pretty solid. I think he's going down. But now, I think it's he's had more receivers open the last few days because you notice who's the cornerbacks out there defending against them. The guys are gaining open in a way they really weren't so much early when Lenore was out there and Renardo Green was out there. But I think Purdy looks good. I think he looks confident. Again, he just got paid a lot of money. That isn't, we know Brock Purdy, he was going to be focused and serious if he was paying, you know, this $800,000 or whatever it was the last few years. Now he's making $53 million a year. He's not going to go, oh, time to give up. I'm going to be lazy now. But I do think there's a lot of kind of understanding that he's their guy. He's the, you know, he, as far as they're going to go, he's going to take them. And, you know, Trent Williams was kind of saying that to me when I was talking to him the other day. You just get that sense from Shanahan. You get that sense from everybody. And that he's kind of like just exuding this kind of quiet. And maybe it's sometimes barking here and there. We don't always hear about it, but I know that he does it. But like he's the guy, and you can kind of feel that. Do you sense that from him as these practices are going on?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that it's dramatically different than last year. You know, he's confident back there. His completion percentage has been really good. I think that he was looking for Pearsall today, and I think that was on purpose because of the time that Pearsall's missed and the understanding that, okay, we need to be – clicking if this offense is going to move in the beginning of the season. So maybe he was forcing it to Pearsall a bit, but again, I think that was on purpose. You don't want that to happen in a game, but you want to establish that chemistry as best you can. You know, DeMarcus Robinson has come in sort of one of the underplayed stories of the summer, spring and summer. He's come in and he's looked good. He's gotten a lot of reps with Purdy. So I think that there's a nice confidence there. I don't know how many games his suspension is going to be. Imagine we're going to hear about that soon. You know, it's the wheels of justice roll slowly in the NFL. So it's got to happen in the next few weeks. But once he's back, you know, I think that's a pretty solid component. I'm not sure you want to draft him in your fantasy league.
Oh, funny. I just advised somebody that
you want a super
sleeper. That's the person I advised to take Christian McCaffrey number one overall last year.
You're just, yeah, are you really, in a league, you know, with this person?
Yeah, that's why I think I'm a little wary of doing this, but like she was asking for sleepers and
late round.
If there's like, if you can get like, if nobody's drafting him because he's going to get suspended, you week three, week four, then week 10, week 11, week 12. Like, this is a guy I think is going to produce him. What I like about Robinson, again, this is just watching him for practice, is like he's always got his feet under him. Like, he doesn't look off balance. So when he catches a ball, whether it's for 8 yards or 18, it looks like he's going to turn and go. Hard to tell when they're not tackling to the ground. You know, he's not a super speedster, but it just looks like he's like one of those guys. You know, Debo certainly was the highest level of that. But like, he isn't like, oh my God, I'm catching the ball, what do I do? And then fall down. It's like, I'm catching it in a rhythm and turning as I catch it. And those are the guys who get a lot of extra yards. You got to get open. You got to get the quarterback to throw it to you. Sometimes those guys aren't the greatest against man-to-man coverage. But once they get the ball, they could turn and run. And it just feels like Robinson is that kind of guy to me. And a veteran and some solid hands. So it's funny that you said, I'll go, he's going to say, don't draft him. I know he's going to say that. And I just You just said, I just texted my friend who's looking for any kind of under the radar picks. Maybe it's a terrible pick, but I think the guy is I think he might end up being the number. Well, he and Pearsall are going to, I think, have right there the same, probably the number two receiver in just count of receptions, because Ayuk won't, because he'll miss a bunch of games. Jennings probably will have the most of the receiver group, because then you still got McCaffrey and Kittle. We take that out of this discussion. But of the receivers, I think Robinson might score some touchdowns too. He just kind of feels like one of those kind of receivers Purdy's going to trust.
Yeah, he's already got the trust factor, which leaps out to you when you consider he just got here in the spring. He's a long guy, and he's catching balls all over the field. It's not just short passes. He's caught some long balls too, across the middle, at the sideline. Purdy's best throw today was to Pearsall at the sideline. Somebody said this. I guess it was Sala, that Purdy's very good at layering his throws over the linebacking core. Getting the throws between the second layer of the defense and that third layer of the defense. And today he threw one from the 49ers were on the right hash. And I think Purdy had actually rolled out to the right even further. And he threw it back the other way to Pearsall, who was cutting across the field. And it landed just before the sideline. It was maybe the best throw I've seen all training camp. But it underscores both that ability that Purdy has to kind of put the ball into a real tight spot, and the connection with Pearsall, which looked good today. It didn't look like Pearsall was a guy who missed all the spring drills. And I think you're right. You said this early in the podcast, that they worked together, earlier this offseason, February, March, April. That's helping, I think. Because there was no Pearsall in May or June or early in this training camp. So they're making up for lost time a little bit, but they had created some cohesion earlier this offseason.
Okay, some guys have been out and maybe are coming back Monday, maybe get them geared up for the Thursday joint practice. Are there, like, Renardo Green maybe? Are there a couple guys that maybe they're looking to get back practicing, or maybe not?
I don't think so. I think Renardo Green is more of a mid-August guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Raiders week, but I would actually say after that. I don't know if there's anybody who's imminent to come back right now.
Lenore, no?
I saw Lenore working on a side field today. I don't want to put a timeline on it, but that's usually a signal that, okay, this guy's probably a week and a half away from coming back. Jennings has been working on a side field. We've seen the very, very elusive Dillard.
I saw him for the first time the other day. He does exist, Andre Dillard.
We saw Andre Dillard on the sideline, and Tim grabs me, pokes my shoulder, and he's like, is that? And I go, yes, that's Andre Dillard.
It's like watching magic.
Tim's like, wow, that's the first time I've ever seen him.
It's a miracle. It's an August miracle. I saw Andre Dillard exists. Large man, large dude.
It seems to be pretty fit. I mean, no big belly like you see on some offensive linemen. Today Colton McKivitz, I think, had a day off. I don't think that he's injured. And so it was Austin Pleasance as the right tackle. So here's the sort of odd thing that's going on. Andre Dillard has been out. He's dealing with an ankle issue, coming back from an ankle issue. Obviously, Trent Williams is the left tackle and Colton McKivitz is the right tackle. And Dillard, I still think, is the lead candidate to be the swing tackle, somebody who can come in and play both left or right in a pinch. But the 49ers to this point have had one guy, Spencer Burford, being the backup left tackle, and they've had Pleasance being the backup right tackle. But those two haven't switched over. They haven't done any of the opposite spot. So neither of them has been a true swing tackle to this point. So I don't know. It seems like the 49ers are counting on Dillard as well, and he has yet to practice.
if you can't count on Andre Dillard, I don't know what you can count on, because I've seen him. He physically exists. There's a real human being named Andre Dillard on the 49ers. It would have been my first time. Very active practice from the other day, because I literally think I saved Guy Haberman's life on the sideline there when he was looking down on a receiver breaking towards him. That's why they don't have us there. I guess that might be.
There you go, Haberman, ruining it for the rest of us.
I want to see Shanahan looking that one on the tape, because he would see some quick reactions by yours truly pulling Guy Haberman out of the line of fire. He owes me something down the road here. We'll see what we can do. So what are you looking forward to for this next week? We got obviously the joint practice. I was thinking maybe some guys are coming back for it, but maybe not. So what's the kind of the step going into that joint practice, other than let's see how it goes? Like who's to be looked at? Who's under the microscope in the next few days specifically for that joint practice?
Well, I should say that maybe Jordan James is coming back. I don't know that for sure. I was told that his injury is minor. It's nothing to be concerned about. So that sort of indicates that he might come back on Monday, practice Monday, Tuesday. They're going to have a day off on Wednesday, and then they're going to host a rare hosting joint practice with the Broncos. So he would be up there for sure. One of these physical practices, the guys get up for it. Like I said, they're not practicing the day before, so there should be really good energy. Can the running backs break arm tackles, run to daylight? What are they going to look like? So a nice test for Jordan James, Corey Kiner. I think those guys will be in the spotlight. Jordan Watkins. Right now, if you had to put a depth chart together for week one in Seattle, and I don't think Ayuk is going to be ready. The 49ers have pretty much said that. And we talked about DeMarcus Robinson being suspended. So, best case scenario is that Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pierce are your starters. Okay, who's number three? And I think the 49ers are starting to think it could be Watkins who's number three. Because we haven't seen Cowan yet. It seems like it's a fairly severe hamstring strain. Remember, Ricky Pearsall had a hamstring strain before OTAs began in May, and he didn't start practicing in full until just a couple days ago. So that kind of tells you how long these guys can be out with that injury. So Watkins will be, all the rookies, but Watkins in particular, considering that he could have a fairly large role up in Seattle. So having him going against other players, I forget who pointed this out, but Ricky Pearsall has been so injured in his first 1.5 seasons with his team, he's done very few one-on-one drills against cornerbacks. So, any one-on-one drill involving Ricky Pearsall is going to be much watched. Especially one against another team. So we'll look to see where that Purdy to Pearsall connection is, and I think that might show up or not show up in these one-on-one situations. So all the guys that we were talking about today, all the guys who have looked good, if you're the 49ers, you want to see that continue against the Denver Broncos. You want to see CJ West continue to dominate, because if he doesn't, you start to wonder, oh, gee, maybe it's not CJ West. Maybe it's our guys who are lacking a little bit.
Couldn't be that. I'll say I don't think Dre Greenlaw is going to be practicing. He kind of tweaked something, and he hasn't been practicing lately for the Broncos. Maybe he would. I would be worried if the Broncos, if you put Dre Greenlaw back out there with a little bit of a injury, he might go 1,000 miles per hour and hurt himself again. So we've seen that. I would love to see Dre out there. I'm sure maybe he'll be there, but not practicing. I don't know if we can talk to him, but Hufanga will be out there, I'm sure, practicing. McGlinchey will be out there. And a lot of old 49ers.
DJ Jones.
DJ Jones, the famous DJ Jones. So, it's an interesting set of players. I suspect that it will be tough to see the whole thing. You're going to have to kind of move around if they're going to let us. That's not me complaining, by the way. All complaints are by Matt Barrows, but we'll see how we can work that out. I was hoping that maybe we could get into the stands and get elevated and use binoculars, but I think there will be fans there, so we cannot get into the stands. So it'll be interesting. It'll be kind of have to figure out our angles on that one. But That's the great thing about joint practice. There's stuff happening everywhere. Like you could look anywhere and there's one-on-ones, there's drills because it's two teams doing it. So there's multiple, times two, the amount of things that are going on. And that's why I love the practices. We know Shanahan loves them. He likes them better than preseason games. This will all be fascinating to see. Anything else you got there, Barros? Any other,
ideas? It's a little different this year. Usually when you have joint practices, there are two sets of practices. Yeah. There's, if you're playing on a Saturday, there's a Wednesday practice, a Thursday practice, day off Friday, and then the game. The 49ers this year are having single day joint practices with both the Broncos and the Raiders, which I like as a reporter because it's a one day event. It doesn't start getting redundant on the second day. People are interested in it. They're interested in the matchups, things like that. So I think it's a great way to go about it. I wonder whether this is sort of the wave of the future, is that you have three preseason games and you have a joint practice with that team 2 days before the actual game. Would seem to be pretty useful, and I bet a lot of coaches would be into that.
The two practices just feels like it kind of wears you down before a game. Like,
exactly.
You know, and then the game is kind of meaningless after the double practice. Still, I think the practice is bigger than the game, but they're sort of fresh. You're not just burning everybody out for the game. But we'll see. Too bad they couldn't have the joint practice against the other team they're playing in the exhibition season.
Yes, that would have been cool.
Chargers. I think they will at some point. I mean, it'd be incredible to see Harbaugh back out through there. And their backup quarterback, Trey Lance.
Exactly. That's what I thought you were getting at. And they've got a new practice facility, too, down there. So.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. I was there last year. It's fantastic. It's just fantastic. So we got to get that going. We know there's – and Shanahan and Harbaugh are pretty good together. You know, they respect each other. So that would be something that I would be very interested in seeing. It's funny. It's the two other teams that they're playing the exhibition and not the one that would be incredibly fascinating. See Harb's back there at 4949 Centennial?
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
That'd be something. All right. Well, I do want to say all love to Greg Papa. He put out a release that he is undergoing. He's battling cancer right now. He's going to take the year off to fight, obviously. But we're with you, Pop. If you're listening to this, everybody should send their thoughts and prayers. He's going to beat this, and I can't wait to see him back out there. It's not the same with him stalking around the field. It's certainly not going to be the same at Levi Stadium for the games at around, you know, doing on the road. Listen, they haven't announced who's going to replace him, but those are impossible shoes to fill. So, Pop, best to you, and everyone think good thoughts towards him.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to miss having Greg at the Raiders practice, too. He was the best part of the Raiders joint practice a couple years ago.
Hilarious stuff. Hilarious stuff. All right, everybody, that is the show for today. We'll probably catch you after the Thursday joint practice. I think that's the plan. All right, everybody, see you.